even smoke within 8 feet of a door of everywhere in the world. You probably can't even smoke in your own house. But they have no problem with beer. Right? Okay, there's very, comparatively, very few regulations, laws about alcohol compared to smoking and cigarettes. And I'm not trying to justify smoking and cigarettes. I think you understand that. I'm just trying to show kind of the inconsistency of the world. We don't look to the world for why we think something is right or wrong or even, you know, just because something is lawful, meaning allowed by the law, doesn't mean it's right to do. That is, and then also, but also at the same time, just because something is sinful doesn't mean there has to be a law against it. Some things that are sinful should have laws against it, like murder. But other things that are sinful, we don't have to have laws against. Otherwise the government becomes a church, something like that. And we believe in a separation between government and church. So I just say that to just mention that our topic this morning, in a certain sense, as I was thinking about it and reading and studying, there's a lot of it's probably everyone here, even if I dare say there's probably some people here that maybe are still struggling with not smoking, or maybe there's even some people here that still have strong urge to take drugs every once in a while, or maybe it's more than every once in a while, but we all kind of know that it's wrong. But we're going to talk through our steps, sort of, for how we come to have standards against something or about something this morning, and hopefully it can be helpful to us. This is not a 10-step program or anything like this. This is not Reformers Unanimous or Help for You, and so I don't even know. I know in concept what we try to do through that ministry, but this that we're going to talk about is going to be, at least if it's the same, it's just because it's coming from the same place, and that's the Word of God. So we'll begin, and understand maybe the prevalence of it for some of us. I just looked up some statistics, and I'm not really much of a statistic guy, but my understanding is that the number of people smoking in the United States, or that smoke in the United States, has gone down drastically in the last 10 years and that. But even so, there's still about 67 million people ages 12 and up that smoke, that have smoked in the last month, they say. Now, this was maybe in 2014, so within a year and a half or so. Now, it's interesting to me, another current statistic was that 40 million people ages 20 and up smoke currently, and that's 1 in 6. But what that says is that, what's that say? Approximately 27 million ages 12 to 20 are smokers or smoke. I don't know how you can count illegal usage, because you might not know about all the illegal usage, but statistics say that there are 27 million people in America that take illegal drugs, or the technical word is illicit drugs, or have taken illicit drugs in the last month. The statistics says that there's 130 million Americans that have taken illicit drugs sometime in their life. That's over one third of our country. Now, I don't, you know, that could include many of you in here that haven't taken them since you were saved. You'd still be in that number. But that's a lot of people. It's definitely something that our country and probably the world faces. And along with that, and I'm not, it's connected because many of these drugs do some of the same things. They say that 60% of Americans age 20 and up are taking prescription drugs Now, those might not be, some of those prescription drugs might not be the same type of drugs as illegal drugs, but a lot of them are the same type of drugs. They're the antidepressant type drugs, the real high-level pain medication drugs that are, and I'm not a pharmaceutical or a pharmacist or anything like this, but there's a lot of these type of drugs that are designed to alter your state of mind, and as it turns out, the illegal drugs are cheaper than the prescription drugs, and they do the same thing in a better fashion. I mean, if you want to use it, more effective at a bad thing, but anyway. So this is a topic that is of relevance to all of us. We live in America where this is taking place. And then there really are many churchgoers who currently some probably are not fighting with taking drugs. Some are not fighting with smoking, but many are fighting with this. They realize it's something wrong, and they are fighting it. And this might be less now, but I remember my dad went to school in South Carolina, and he had his senior year, he was had a church, I don't know, an hour or so away from where he lived when he went to school. So he'd go out there on the weekends, and he was familiar with people in the South, in South Carolina, and especially in North Carolina, there were at least pastors, and you've probably met pastors who preach their sermon, and then they head out the back door, side door, and they light up on their cigarette. There's deacons in churches that chew tobacco, you know, tobacco, or whatever they call it. So the idea that sometimes, I mean, I've never grown up around it. None of my extended family members smoked, or at least smoked while I was living. Maybe they had quit a long time before. And so I can grow up in this kind of, like, situation where I don't think very many people smoke at all or even struggle with this idea. But some of you are sitting there, and you might even be offended by the way I'm talking about it because it's a real struggle to you. And I apologize if I'm, putting off an air of, like, I don't understand. I'm not trying to be that way. But I'm just trying to point out that there's pastors, people that are pastors that smoke. There's deacons, there's members, there's people that attend churches that smoke. And in a certain sense, a lot of because of what I already said, the world around us today already says, you know, this is wrong. But we're not going to go with the world's reasoning. I want to try to have some biblical reasons for coming to this conclusion. And we'll go through this today. And I think that we'll do it all in this day. So as we think about this topic, I think we would agree that the Bible doesn't say anything directly about smoking or taking drugs. There's no verse. I mean, the Bible does talk directly about drinking. The Bible talks directly about a lot of things, but there's nothing in the Bible that says, you know, don't light a cigarette, don't inhale smoke or whatever. So we want our lives to be based on the Bible. So we have to, if we're going to think biblically about this or any topic, anything that doesn't have something directly stated in the Bible about it, we need to learn, does the Bible teach anything about this subject? Not directly stated, so then we need to understand the issue itself. We have to remember in our list of things, we would, besides searching the scriptures for actual references to it, we would search the scriptures for biblical principles that may apply to it. Well, we wouldn't know what biblical principles apply to this until we understand somewhat of the actual characteristics of the topic or the action. And then we also said that we would look at when we're looking at developing standards and convictions, we look at the voices of prominent Bible teachers and from the past or currently, and I don't think there's anybody that's a respected Christian who's trying to justify the use of drugs or smoking. And I know some people might be offended by me lumping them together. They are not the same, and I do understand that, but I'm lumping them together. So, all right. So, now, and this is not an in-depth study. I'm apologizing over and over again. I should just stop. But what are the characteristics of these practices? Well, tobacco, which would include cigarettes, cigars, and we should point that out, pipes. There's a very famous conservative talk radio host talks about his formerly nicotine-stained hands and also advertises his own brand, name brand line of cigars. You know, I think Rush Limbaugh, you know, he's talking about how great it is to smoke cigars, I guess because you don't inhale or something, I don't know. But who knows what. I thought I'd look that up. And there's about 100 times as much nicotine in one cigar as there is in one cigarette. Now, I know, I mean, just think a cigar is a lot bigger than a cigarette, but it doesn't, you know, it's not like you're, at least health-wise, you know, doing yourself any better by, oh, I gave up cigarettes, and now I just smoke cigars. Or a pipe, it's tobacco, you put whatever. Is that dignified, you know, aura to a pipe, the old man sitting there in the rocking chair with his pipe. He's still smoking. There's still nicotine and tar and tobacco going into his body. Again, I don't know much, okay? I've just read some stuff, and there's the, you know, you do not inhale, or, I mean, how can, you're still going in your mouth, you're still ending up with gum cancer and esophageal cancer and all the whatever. But anyway, and then there's tobacco itself. Just forget smoking it. Just chew it or just stick it in your mouth there and taste it. I'm sure that it's very enjoyable. But whenever I ended up with grass in my mouth, you know, I don't know, I fell on the ground playing soccer and there's grass, and I don't like the taste of grass. I mean, I know grass isn't tobacco leaves or anything like that. Maybe, you know, tobacco leaves taste way better. Well, I don't know. You don't eat it. You know, just don't eat it. Just suck on it and then spit. Okay. I'm not being very fair to those that enjoy this practice. But anyway, what about tobacco? What are some characteristics of it? Among other things, it's addictive. It's addictive. It has nicotine in it, among other things, but the nicotine is the thing that we all would recognize. It's a drug that you want more of, and after a while you have to have it. That means that if you have to have it, that means you're addicted to it. You have to have it. You're a servant of it, a slave to it, whatever you want to say. We don't, addictive is the academic or the nice word about it, but you serve nicotine, you serve tobacco, you have to have it. You get to certain points in your life where, or the person gets to certain points in their life when they can't do anything else except light up a cigarette or whatever it is, whatever form they take it. Also, it's harmful to your body. It's harmful. This is even your low tar cigarettes are still have tar in them and whatever else. It's harmful to your body, inhaling the smoke. I don't know if we have anybody. I got an enlightenment this week. There's also water smoking or something. I don't know. They got these big pots. And they sit there and one water, I think it's water smoking, I don't know. One water smoking session is like smoking, I don't know, 100 cigarettes or something like that too. I mean, it's just, it doesn't smell as bad because they have, I don't know, they put aroma in there. It's more of a Middle Eastern type thing, I think. Anyway, I hope I'm not like piquing anybody's interest and you have to go try these things out. Anyway. So, but it's addictive and it's harmful. We're not going to try to explain that anymore. What about e-cigarettes? What about e-cigarettes? Well, there is there's a new technology. Well, for one, they're designed to look like you're smoking. Okay, so it's like, well, I'm not really smoking. While there's nothing sinful necessarily, explicitly about having the, you know, the chewing gum that has the, that's in the shape of a cigarette, you know, the kid that wants to, you know, blow that dust, that sweet dust out of his paper wrapped piece of gum, or has the, wants to act like he's chewing chew tobacco with his can of Big League Chew or his bag of Big League Chew, you know, there's a problem there, even though there's nothing sinful in the thing. But e-cigarettes, are they harmful? There's, it's a new technology. It's hard to say. For one, there is not the smoke of, you know, of burning tobacco when you use an e-cigarette, but it is addictive. It still has nicotine in it, and it appears. It looks like the same as smoking cigarette. It even has a little red light on the end that lights up for you. So, what about drugs? Okay, so drugs, and I'm not saying I'm not, when I'm talking about drugs, I'm not talking about aspirin or something like something that's not addictive. But illegal drugs and even over the counter, some over the counter drugs are addictive. And some things, so prescription drugs, some of them are addictive. And you should, I mean, there's nothing, most people would not say there's anything wrong with taking a really high-powered pain medication, but you should know whether it has addictive qualities, and you should, you know, you should really need it. I mean, you should really have real pain, like big incisions through your skin and all that that are, you're healing up from, or whatever. But just they can be addictive. They can be mind-altering. Is the word. You get into another state of mind, right? You take your drugs, and everything gets. You get happy, or you get whatever. I don't know how to describe it because I just read about it, but hallucinogenic drugs, you get in, you know, whatever. I'm sorry. And of course the drugs can be harmful. How many deaths do we have in the area because people took, they overdosed on drugs? There's even, and you say, well, somebody might say, well, I don't take too much. I won't overdose. You don't know. You don't know. Because human nature is involved, you got a little bit of drugs from somebody who cheated and just put something else, mixed something else in with it, and it's bad. It kills you. You've never taken, this is way back, I'm forgetting the name, famous basketball player, signed a contract, Lenny Bias. Yep, Len Bias took drugs for the first time, but had some type of condition in his physical makeup. It killed him. Killing is really, really harmful. Beside the other. So these things, these drugs, smoking, the drugs have a mind-altering effect to it. Smoking is addictive, and it's harmful to your body. So, what principles then? What does the Bible say about these things? Okay, should we? What does the Bible say about harming your own body? Well, let's go to Genesis chapter 9, verse 6. Now, this might be a stretch for some, but for some of you, you will understand what I'm saying. Genesis chapter 9, verse 6. Mr. Reinhardt recognizes that reference, right? What, for Mr. Reinhardt, what does Genesis 9, verse 6 tell us? It's the Right? So it's the establishment of it's God's establishment of government in the world. But Genesis chapter 9, verse 6 says, "Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed, for in the image of God made he man." Okay, so even after the fall, even after we had all sinned, every man is made in God's image. Okay? So when you take someone's life, the reason it's a crime is because you're harming, because the person is made in the image of God. Okay? So, I'm made in the image of God. Every single one of us is made in the image of God. So, if I harm someone else bad enough that they die, I should die because that person is made in the image of God. Okay? So, should I harm myself? I mean, it's okay. I'm only hurting myself, right? And do you understand where I'm going with that? A lot of people say, "Well, he's not hurting anybody. He's only hurting himself." Well, the reason that murder is sin is not necessarily because you're taking someone's life. It's because that person is made in the image of God, according to this verse. Okay? And you are made in the image of God. You shouldn't harm yourself, just like you shouldn't harm someone else. Our bodies are, as Psalm 139:14 says, what? Fearfully and wonderfully made. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Okay, now, somebody might say, "Well, if you eat this food, it's bad for you." Okay, maybe so, but maybe the science isn't, you know, all so clear about that. The American Heart Association said, you know, don't eat this, and if you investigate it, there's at least a lot of arguments that say that was just a money-influenced decision. And all of that. So we're not going to there. We have to eat food. We have to make choices about what's healthy for us. If we're a glutton, that's against the Bible too, and that's harmful and it's wrong. But we don't have to smoke tobacco. We don't have to take drugs. We don't have to do these things that are knowingly harming ourselves. Okay? So that is the Old Testament. And then a few verses in the New Testament. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 16 says, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are." Okay, so our bodies, Christ lives inside us. When we turn to Christ in repentance and faith, he indwells us. We don't understand this. It's not spooky, but it is real. He lives within us. Okay? And our bodies become a dwelling place for Christ and the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. What? "Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." Now that verse is particularly in direct connection with the subject of fornication, which is a very different way, vastly different sin than smoking or taking drugs. But the principle is that our body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, and he lives within us. And then 2 Corinthians 6:16. And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. So our bodies are the temple as New Testament Christians. They're the temple of the Holy Spirit. And as the creation of God, we're created in God's image, and we should not harm the image of God, especially based on the idea that if we take the life of something with the image of God, our own life should be taken. So that's what we wouldn't harm someone that is bearing the image of God also. All right, so harming your body. It's something the Bible teaches us not to do. How about being addicted to something? What does the Bible say about being addicted to something? The word addicted is not in the Bible, but, well, actually the word addicted is in the Bible. They were, the house of Stephanus was addicted to the work of God. You can be addicted to serving God. But 1 Corinthians 6:12, we're in 2 Corinthians now, 1 Corinthians 6:12. Says, all things are lawful unto me. So the word lawful means it's allowed. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. So everything that's allowed, everything that the law allows or that the rules allow or that can be done is not good to be done. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. And then, all things are lawful unto me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. So being brought under the power of something says, well, even though this is something that's allowable, okay, I might say, I haven't thought through the statement, but I might say the government shouldn't really say that, well, the government doesn't say smoking is illegal, they just regulate it. So smoking is not illegal, it's allowable, but I will be brought under the, it's addicting, okay? Anything that puts me under its power is something that I shouldn't do. Paul says, all things are lawful, but I will not. Not, I don't think it's a good idea. I will not be brought under the power of any. So something that we have to do, something that we're addicted to, is something that we should stop doing, which is really hard to do once you're addicted to it. Mr. Leslie and helps with our Help for You program, helping people break the chains of addiction. Break that. I mean, I have to do it. Well, you have to do it once you... It's kind of a hard situation to be in. You realize that you have to do it, and then hopefully you realize that's something that the Bible says you shouldn't be brought under the power of something. Actually, realizing that it's sin when you're brought under the power of it should help you break those chains also. Let's just make a note. Romans 6:16 talks about giving yourself, being a servant to something. If you, I can't remember the exact words, but 6:16 is related to this idea. How about altering your state of mind? Altering your state of mind. You could look at this is not a direct reference or idea. But do you remember the person who, when once Jesus came into life, he was in his right mind? Okay, now I'm not saying that anybody, you know, you have an altered state of mind that you are demon-possessed, but it's the maniac of Gadara, demon-possessed by a legion. Christ cast those demons out, and then he was sitting there and in his right mind. But the idea of having an altered state of mind is very connected to being drunk. Okay, now we've talked about wine already, but the Bible, besides teaching that we shouldn't participate, we should abstain from wine, also has a lot of things to say about drunkenness and that it is a sin. And when you're drunk, you are in an altered state of mind. You are not in your normal state of mind. You're in an altered state of mind. And so the principle that applies when we speak about drunkenness applies to anything else that would cause us to be in that state of mind. One verse, and there's others, but one verse that talks about being drunk or not being drunk is Ephesians 5:18. And be not drunk with wine. And then I would say there's also the issue of stewardship. Okay? This is kind of related to harming your own body, but God has given us our bodies along with and our faculties and our abilities and all of those things. If we take and take away those abilities by participating in practices that are harmful to us, we're not being good stewards. All right, so when we recognize that the Bible teaches us these things, we should recognize that this is wrong. It's a sin. And then we should aim not to do it. We should ask for forgiveness. We should, when we do that. But we should also set some standards that will keep us from the strong temptation to do that. Now, some of these items are very freely accessed in our culture, okay? And I think if you are struggling with this, you ought to, I know the class is in here, but you ought to go to Help for You on Thursday night, and they have more ideas and proven and useful ways to do this. But I just want to mention a few things. One of the first ways that people get started in these practices is through friends. It's through friends. If your friends are doing it, pretty soon you'll be doing it, unless you get away from those friends. What kind of friends do you have? Okay? So you should have godly friends. Say, well, my godly friends smoke. Or if they're a godly friend, they don't want to be smoking. Okay? They don't want to be taking drugs. They might be struggling with it, but they don't want to be doing it. And for that matter, if they're a godly friend and you're trying to be godly and you both have the same problem, you know that you guys shouldn't be hanging together. Okay? So your friends, friendships. Another is recreations. Okay? People, this is connected with friends, but people think, well, I just want to have a good time. And we let down our guard when we go to have entertainment, and let's just add that, entertainment and recreation. We think, well, I've been doing this all the time, I just want to relax some and have some fun and be entertained. And many times in those situations, we find ourselves in an environment that is very tempting and very strong toward participating, starting or restarting one of these practices that are evil. That are wrong, sinful. Let's just think about recreation, though. The word recreation is to recreate. Okay? When something's created, it's perfect, it's strong. Okay? If you live in the world and work in the world, you've been fighting, hopefully, you've been fighting the world all week. So your recreation should be something that strengthens you for that battle. Not something that you say, well, I've been fighting the world all week, I'm just going to sit down and relax and enjoy the world for a few hours. Right? Just kind of think about that some. What our recreation and what our entertainment should be. 6 days we work, we're out in the world. 7th day, we should be in church, recreating ourselves, rejuvenating ourselves, re-enlivening ourselves, strengthening ourselves so that we can go out and fight the devil. Because we get out there in the world and we have to fight against these temptations and such things. So your standards of recreation, your standards of entertainment, your standards of friends, and there could be other things, but set some standards up. Well, you know, I got saved or I realized this, I'm not hanging out with you anymore. Well, what's wrong with you? We've always been good friends. Doesn't matter. I mean, doesn't matter. Okay? It's not that hanging around with someone is wrong. It's just that hanging around with him or with her makes it so that you're much more likely to sin by smoking or taking drugs or whatever. So this is the idea of standards. We understand what's right and wrong, but the idea of standards can help us here. If you always, I don't even know if this is possible. But if you have a problem with cigarettes, if they're not in your house, you're not going to be able to smoke them. Okay? Say, but if they're not at the store where you do your grocery shopping, and I don't know if there's a store that doesn't smoke cigarettes, but somehow, if you could set up some standards so there's fewer opportunities to get the thing that you're strongly addicted to, then that makes it easier. Doesn't take away the thing, but that's the whole idea of standards is something that it's another barrier that keeps me from doing something that I know is wrong. We've gone over. I thought we were going to go short. That's what happens when you think you're going to go short.